Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, let's get to our Browns Insider. His name is Daryl Ryder. He's brought to you by Chapman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, when's your cabin week?
I don't have a cabin week, but I will be taking some time off after the Browns break for summer vacation.
I actually do love the idea of you renting out a cabin and just kind of hanging out for a couple weeks. Just you, yourself, and you, and just deplugging from everything. No internet, no Shador Sanders videos popping into your face, and just almost like the darkness retreat that Aaron Rodgers went on. You doing something like that for yourself.
I have hidden the phone from myself before. I have done
You've
that.
Hidden so. The phone from yourself?
How do you hide the phone from yourself?
I mean, I've lost my phone, but I've never hidden it from myself.
I've left it at home before. And then
it's a bad game.
A half hour into the drive, regretted my decision.
So you did it on purpose. You didn't just forget your phone?
No. I did it on purpose and immediately regretted my decision.
What's the longest you think you could stay away from your phone and be like, all right, I'm happy about this decision? Like in White Lotus, they give up the phones. All the kids give up the phones, and they do like a 5-day thing with no phones. Could you do 5 days without any phone?
I don't know if I can do 5 minutes these days. I can't even watch a movie or a TV show without having to check my phone every 5 minutes.
I know. It's bad these days. You're not alone. I mean, there's a lot of us out there just doom scrolling all day long. It's a thing right now.
That's you know who could do that, though, is Joe Flacco. Get off his lawn with your TikTok dances.
So, all right. Matt, can you get that clip ready? I haven't heard it. Everyone is talking about Joe Flacco and the TikTok dances and him
it's
being
fantastic.
So, okay. Is he? All right, I want to hear it. All right, Mac's going to play it for us, and then we can react. Here we go.
No TikTok dances. The fact that people, that is different too. This generation, the fact that people want to get on their phones and show people the most, like, that's embarrassing. You're an adult. Like, being an adult, like, it's just like, I can't wrap my head around that. And, like, I get it. Like, you have kids, and, like, you want to, like, have fun with your kids. Like, well, like, have fun with your kids in private, you know? That's what I think. I'm not guarded. I don't think I'm guarded at all. I think, honestly, if you talk to me in person, I'll tell you a lot. I'll be pretty honest with you. But, like, yeah, on social media, no chance. Just part of me, there's a piece of me at times that, like, gosh, should I be this guy that kind of, like, does this a little bit? Like, cause I feel like in order to have a good social media, you do want to be honest and, like, show what you do in your life. But it's just like, that's a job in itself.
It is a job in and of itself. I'm not very active on social media. You know that about me. I don't really post in many, many places at all. But also, who are you? Are you the fun police? Is Joe Flacco Larry David all of a sudden? Like, if people are having fun, who cares?
He might be. I particularly enjoyed what he had to say today because I just felt like it was the ultimate middle-aged dad commentary.
I mean, he was doing an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm right there. That's all he was doing. I can't wait for his spite store to come out.
He was saying everything you want to say, Daryl.
Absolutely. 100%.
Are you Joe Flacco? Is that what you're telling me right now?
No,
I think Joe's taller.
No, he's much taller and much better at football than I am.
All right. So what do you make of the idea that he actually didn't throw any footballs today? Now, it's been 2 days in a row that he's not throwing many footballs, and it seems like Stefanski's really trying to see what he's got with these younger quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, Shedeur Sanders still hasn't gotten any first-team reps. He did get to work with the twos today, got a couple of reps there. I think at some point, though, he needs to change that. I think Shedeur needs to work with the ones. Second straight day, Dylan Gabriel was first up with the ones. The first play of 11-on-11, Gabriel had to throw the ball into the grass. So he got off to a rip-roaring start. I don't know. Maybe they're doing the process of elimination thing right now. Hey, let's give Dylan Gabriel a bunch of first-team reps in veteran minicamp here, and we can eliminate him from the competition, come training camp, and make it a three-team race. I don't know. But that's kind of what they've done. Kevin Stefanski says this is all part of his master plan, whatever that master plan happens to be. And so, we'll see tomorrow if Dylan Gabriel gets a third crack at doing something, anything in a team period. He reminds me, I won't say who he reminds me of, I'll just say this. He's a great 7-on-7 drill quarterback. 11-on-11, not so much. That's what I'll say.
Wow.
I'm going to spend the rest of this segment, maybe even the rest of the show, trying to think of who he reminds you of.
I was going
to
press him on it, but he's not going to tell us. I know that, so that's okay. No. That one die. But the point is that it's funny. You're there. I mean, you're the one with the eyeballs on it. It's just from my Twitter viewpoint, it seemed like people were suggesting that Dylan Gabriel had a good day today, as if he was almost turning a corner. You don't see it that way.
No, I do not. He looked good in 7-on-7, 11-on-11, in my view, there's some work to be done.
How much do you think the performance matters right now?
I'm marginal. And the reason I say marginal, Danny, is because Kevin Stefanski keeps talking about their install phase and teaching phase and seeing what people are comfortable with phase. So, that's why I think right now, when it comes to the competition, I don't think that they're out there, I don't think they're out there counting completion percentages. I do think what they are grading these guys on is, are they seeing what they're supposed to be seeing? Are the reads correct? Are they going through the progressions correctly? What do the mechanics look like? Is the footwork sound right? Things like that. That's where I think they're grading right now. And then the other stuff is going to come during training camp. I just don't know how deep into training camp you can go with a four-man quarterback competition, but that's just me.
Can you give me a grade for each quarterback today then? Because I'm very confused because I really thought that Twitter had some sort of consensus, but this is why you can't believe what you read online, and this is why we have you here, Daryl. Can you give me a grade for the quarterbacks?
Can I just rank the quarterbacks where I think that they're at? I don't want to give them daily
grades. Not where
they're
at, but what they did today. Can you rank them for how you saw them today?
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give guys grades today. I don't think that that's fair. But I'm happy to tell you where I think that they should be in the
order. It's definitely fair, but you don't have to do it.
What about pass-fail?
No.
No, he knows that's going to turn into the headline's going to turn into Dylan Gabriel failed at minicamp today. I get
that. That just does not end well for me.
I get it. Do you feel like the Browns, we had a lot of chatter out of Detroit. There's been like 8 different websites suggesting a trade with Shedeur Sanders and the Lions. And then on the other side of it, we had a report today suggesting the Dolphins have interest in Dylan Gabriel. Do you feel like...
Miami can have him. Oh. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat?
Yes.
See, I think that tells you what his grade was.
I mean, I said earlier today, I was like, we'd pack the bags for Dylan Gabriel if that ended up being the answer. They want to go ahead and give us whatever pick that would turn out to be, whatever player that would be. No one's mad about that. My big point on it, though, is that we're already getting chatter between the two rookie quarterbacks. I think everyone thinks it's going to be Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, the one that doesn't win the job that's going to be traded. No one has interest in Kenny Pickett. There's going to be no one wanting to trade to get Kenny Pickett, but there's clearly interest in these rookie quarterbacks, Daryl.
Yeah, well, because they're an unknown quantity.
Right.
I would not entertain a trade for Shedeur Sanders at this time. I don't think that I see too much there with him.
Yeah, you do. From the Shashil, as you call me. Yeah, you do.
Yes.
Love to hear that. That was music to my ears, Daryl.
I think that there's a little too much there to just give up on him this early.
He is a Shaconvert.
I am not a Shaconvert, nor am I a Shashil. I can just only go by what I
see. Getting pretty close. We got ourselves a nice Shaboom.
It just seems like he's open to the idea.
Well, listen, so I'm reading things out of Pittsburgh training camp today, and it's like Steelers insider saying rookie quarterback Will Howard has been inconsistent in OTAs and minicamp. And I'm like, well, you know, with what I told you on Monday is true, Daryl. All these things with Shador, Shador just does consistent work. It seems like he never has bad days in front of you guys, and there's value on being a consistent performer in any walk of life, but especially in the NFL.
Yeah, I'd like to see at some point, and maybe part of it too is again, because Stefanski's talking about the teaching and the comfortability and all that kind of stuff. I feel like they're protecting him a little bit. And I have said this before when it comes to playing time this fall. I think they want to make sure that they do this thing right with Shador, and they don't put him in positions in which he has an opportunity to fail under circumstances that are not of his doing. I feel like they really want to make sure that they set him up for success, and I do feel like that's part of the reason why he's not gotten the first team reps. They are bringing him along slowly, step by step, and at some point in training camp, yeah, we'll probably see him with the ones. But like, I don't get the sense that they're anxious to put him in a game situation this year.
Do you think that there's danger in being too conservative with that?
No, I don't. Look, he's a fifth round pick, and you know, look, I mean, there were years where the Browns picked quarterbacks in the third round, including this past one, where they didn't even want to put that kid on the field, but circumstances dictated they do that. DeShone Kizer comes to mind, right? There was no reason that guy should have seen the field his rookie year, but the circumstances dictated they didn't have a choice. They had to play him, and we all know how that movie ended. So I don't feel like that is detrimental to Shador the way the Browns are handling him right now. Not at all.
A couple highlights for me, Daryl, from the Diontae Johnson press conference today that I thought was really interesting. One, him admitting that the Browns were the only team that was after his services is highly comical to me. The other part of that was him stretching and saying, like, it's just one bad year. It's like, it was more than one bad year there, Daryl.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew Berry's the second chance man. He's willing to give guys a second chance, and I would argue this kid's on his fourth or fifth chance. This one might be his last, though. The fact that he acknowledged today that the Browns were the only team that picked up a phone and reached out to him to bring him in. So I kind of feel like this is last chance you for him here in Cleveland, and we'll see how it plays out.
Do you think he understands that? Like, do you think that this is his last opportunity to be in the NFL, and if there is a time or place to turn around, it's now?
Well, I never say that anyone's on their last opportunity to play in the NFL because we know how the NFL operates. But, you know, I can't speak for whether or not he understands it. You know, he really didn't want to talk about anything that happened last year. He wanted to leave that in the rearview mirror. You know, obviously it's relevant when you go through what he did last year, you know, getting traded and cut twice. Hopefully he does. You know, there is an opportunity here. Like, it's Jerry Jeudy and then a bunch of question marks after that. So he has an opportunity here to revive his career. And I'll be honest with you, Danny, I hope that's the approach that he's taking. Not so much looking over his shoulder, hey, this is my last chance to make it. Hopefully he looks at it, hey, I have a tremendous opportunity here to revive my career. Because there isn't much here in that receiver room. And if, you know, if that helps him focus and stay on the straight and narrow, then obviously the Browns are going to benefit tremendously on the field.
Daryl Ryder, fantastic insight as always. I'll catch up with you on Friday when you're with me all the way for 5 hours from 2 to 7. Enjoy the rest of your night, Daryl.
Maybe we'll grade the quarterbacks on Friday. We'll see.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you get an A+, Daryl.
That's right.
Thank you, Dan.
All All right. Daryl Ryder right there. Brought to you by Shop and Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I gave it like a, you know, B plus instead of an A plus.
I wanted to be nice. I'm not going to bully Daryl the same way you're not going to bully Mac.
You know, that's right. That's good. It is a bully free week here on the station. How are we going to explain the bully free week to Nick when he comes back? I think we just kind of let this one die.
He's
with
going
us.
To laugh at you and bully you.
I think we're just going to let
I
this one die.
I think everyone will understand that bully free week is over when
it's
Nick
over.
Comes back.
No one really comes back and tells them it was a bully free week. We just kind of let that one marinate and sit where it is, right?
Exactly. You let it happen.
All on the same page. Got it. All right. We come on back. There was somebody trying to bully Kevin Stefanski. Is he going to fall for it? How much of a say does Stefanski have in all of this? 216-474-0092. Jonathan Peterlin and Danny Cunningham with you guys. Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. We've not talked any golf at all, and I'd feel bad if I didn't give you some opportunity, just a quick minute or two. I can't spend all day on golf, although I know me and you probably could talk golf all day long. I have not handicapped Oakmont in the slightest bit. So you're obsessed with golf. You did a golf show previously in life at one point. I obviously love golf. I can't find myself so committed to handicapping the Oakmont quite yet. I don't know why. I think it's because the course is just going to
be
built around.
You're running out of time because it starts tomorrow.
I know. And Fedor will be with me tomorrow, and Fedor loves golf. And so I'm going to have some strong golf opinion by tomorrow. I know that.
If you want to watch Chris Fedor not pay attention to the show, have him on during the U.S. Open. I know where his eyes are going to be during the show.
So that's problematic.
As somebody who is friends with Chris, I know what he's going to be watching all the shows on. And you will too.
No, I won't. I love sports. I love golf. I love all these type of things, but I love the radio show more. So the problem I have is that in those moments, hell, there'll be Guardians games on in the studio. And I'm like, it's not for me. I'll catch the recap later. Like I know how I work. And if I let myself commit to the sport and watch the sport instead of doing the show, everything's going to suffer. Some of you guys can do that where you multitask and you pull off different things. One thing you got to know about me, Danny, I can't multitask at all.
Okay.
It is not a thing that I can pull off.
Interesting.
I am singular focused human. And so I can't pull it off. Now, I don't have like ADHD or anything like that. So I don't like get distracted and then all of a sudden I'm like off into another planet. That's not the case. But I need to be focused on what I need to focus on. Lame answer, I know. But you're telling me we got to cut the TVs in here tomorrow, then we might have to cut the TVs in here tomorrow.
I'm not going
to
be in here, so you can do whatever you want.
Fedor won't get distracted. He's a pro.
He's going to be watching.
He's going to dial it in.
He will be having conversations, and he's going to be listening to every word you say because he is good at this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He will be listening to every word you say, and he'll have great conversations with you, but he's going to be doing it like this, where his eyes are on that TV up there, but he's going to be very invested in your conversations.
See, the problem with that is I can't tell how invested people are when they do that, and so then I just ramp up my conversations to like an 11, and then I start really throwing some curveballs. And then I'm just fighting for their attention, and I know I'm fighting for their attention. So then so things go sideways is what I'm saying. And some hot takes happen when that goes down that way. All right. So give me your Oakmont preview And more importantly, give some friends out there, if they had a couple dineros to put some wagers on, what they would do.
So I really think accuracy is going to matter so much this week.
I mean, it's
right?
got to. That's why I can't go with DeChambeau. Obviously, the winner last year at U.S. Open, but that was in Pinehurst, where he sprayed the ball all over the place. You're going to be penalized if you hit in the rough this year.
Well, and not even that. Like, I think the bigger issue with him is that his irons haven't been great this year.
Yeah.
Like, he is somebody, because I do think there is still an advantage to being able to hit the ball as far as he can and have shorter clubs in, even
if he's
in the
rough.
You got
like a minute and a half left, by the way. We can't get too much longer here in a golf talk.
There's some advantage to that, but I just don't think his irons have been good enough. A guy that I kind of like this week is Colin Morikawa.
Oh, I was going to say Morikawa. He's sharp as hell with the irons.
Right, and I think that the ball striking from the fairway is going to matter. He's not the longest hitter in the world.
There was
a
stretch of like 25 different PGA tournaments that I bet Morikawa to win, and obviously he didn't win. It was a dry spell, and I was it was not feeling good, but I love Colin Morikawa.
But I mean, the conversation starts and ends with Scottie Scheffler. If you think that you believe in what Scottie has done, and there's no reason not to, he's the pick. You don't get great odds. He's plus 280 on FanDuel. But
which is insane to only be plus 280 for a U.S. Open. Yes. Yeah, this is the best run anyone's had since Tiger, and it's not even close.
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's Scotty if you want to just play it safe. But if you want a bit of a long shot, I mean, I think it's Colin Morikawa for me.
The problem I have right now, and I think the problem golf fans have, is, or really just casual fans, is that I can tell you it's the second best stretch since Tiger, and no one's going to deny that, but no one's linked up to the TV this week being like, I got to see Scottie Scheffler play. He is the Mike Trout of golf, and it's a real problem the sport has to find a way to figure out how it breaks through, and usually winning just takes care of that.
Right. I mean, Tiger was
But he's won so much already, and you think it would already take care of itself, and it hasn't.
And I think part of that is because Tiger was the first of his kind, and Scottie's not. We had not seen a player.
I know, but we tend to love greatness at any cost.
Scottie's not unique.
You're right about that. We love a combination of uniqueness and greatness. There's a reason. We love Shohei Ohtani because he's obviously the best player in baseball, but we also love the idea that he can pitch and he can also hit. If you have that extra layer to it, it does matter. But just because Michael Jordan exists doesn't mean LeBron James can't exist as well, right? Like, they're the next in line in the post-Tiger Woods. There's been a couple guys that have obviously tried to vie for it, but Scottie Scheffler is like the living actual proof of it, and the golf world has attached themselves to him, but the casual fan has come nowhere close.
It's because I don't think he's a big personality. Like, that
know,
is
the,
part
the
of
the Mike Trout of golf.
Yes,
that's exactly who he is.
I don't think you're wrong with this take.
I hate it, though. Scottie Scheffler doesn't draw the eyeballs that he should, because he is. He's as talented of a golfer that we've seen since Tiger.
I do think that the eyeballs will be there this weekend, though. And I don't necessarily think it's because of Scottie, but I think because of this course, because it's the U.S. Open, because there are a lot of storylines going into it. I think that who's at the lead, as long as there is a big name, whether it is Scottie or Bryson or Rory, one of those names is at or near the top of the leaderboard on Sunday, I do think this will do a big number.
You know what else we need? So one thing that if you guys have not paid enough attention, Oakmont's got this really, really thick rough. And I thought it was a great job by the PGA Tour today and all the other people, or the people with the U.S. Open, I'm sorry, and the USGA, to post all these videos of like Phil Mickelson trying to get out of the rough and struggling, Scottie Scheffler trying to get out of it and struggling, all these different players and players that we know and names that we know having a hard time. There's something about us that we love watching professional golfers that just put their whole entire lives into it, spend 12 hours a day playing it, consuming it, doing everything around it, and then we see them just be human like us. Something we like about that.
That is the beauty of this specific tournament.
And this course sets up for that. And I think them highlighting that, I think, was a brilliant job by them, because there's a chance to be carnage. But what they have to do is not swerve into the idea that these golfers are so much better than everybody else. We know that. They have to swerve into the human moments, the ones that's like, that's us type moments.
Yes. We so often, and there are a lot of different courses and course setups that make these guys look incredible, and they are incredible at what they do, but this setup, this course, is going to make them suffer. And I think that in a one, I would not want to watch this type of thing every week, because
it's really good for this week.
But for this week, it's perfect.
And it's a U.S. Open, and U.S. Opens in golf, in other sports, bowling was this way as well. Not that you guys care about that, but like most U.S. Opens are the toughest conditions that you'll play on. Like, that's part of the feature of a U.S. Open, is they make it incredibly hard, and that's what makes it so valuable.
Our national championship, which this is, should be the toughest thing in golf to win, and this will be.
All right, you got me juiced up here.
Yeah, you should be.
I mean, I have been. I just, it's just, Scotty's got a lot of work to do, man. He's got a lot of people that he's got to try to convince that he is of.
But he doesn't care about that. He cares about playing good golf and winning, and being popular is not important to him. Like, he has more money than he could know what to possibly do with. He doesn't need more money, more fame. He wants to play golf and be a dad. And I do respect that.
Yeah, it's the only sport where everyone could be like, you could make so much more money in endorsements if you do X, Y, and Z. And as a golfer, you can just say, I don't want to. And then you don't have to.
The golf endorsements that you're looking for are different. Like, he's got the Nike endorsement. I believe he's with Rolex, too. I'm sure that's not cheap. He doesn't need to be decorated like a billboard. Nike pays him to wear their stuff. That's fine for him.
I know, but you see, like, Bryson doing all these YouTube videos and, like, really having to dance for his dollar. You know, he really does the work.
He doesn't have to. He wants to be. And I think there's an argument he doesn't actually like to play golf anymore. He just wants to make the YouTube videos. Like, he wants to have fun doing that. I think Bryson does that because it's fun, not because he needs to make the money. I mean,
he's using the golf as the pathway to have the YouTube fame and the Instagram fame.
Because, I mean,
look
at how much money he made by jumping over to that LIV tour. He was not cheap to get to go over there. He does not need to make however much money he makes on YouTube a month, which I'm sure is a good check.
Oh, no, it's not about the money
He just wants to have fun. I think he genuinely enjoys that.
Well, he rehabbed his image in a way that I think is incredible. Like, we'll do studies in classrooms across the country about how you went from being one of the more hated people in the golf community to then being one of the more liked people in the golf community. Yeah. Like, anytime you used to bring up Bryson before, people would shudder. And now it's like, oh, that guy's kind of cool.
Yeah, 100%.
That guy, oh, I see him on YouTube. He hangs out with Grant Horvat and does challenges and such. Like, he's hitting golf balls over his house trying to get hole in ones.
And we were all watching.
Everyone watched, and it was a lot of fun. And, like, I do think there's a lot to be taken away from stuff like that.
But even then, no one watches him play week to week. The only time you ever watch him play actual golf is in the majors, because no one watches his tour at all.
Yeah, no one watches LIV, and that's a real problem with LIV, but they've made peace with that. Well, they've made peace with it, and it's going to survive because they got enough of that Saudi money.
It's going to run out at some point, though. They will stop trying.
When the
merger happens, LIV will go away.
No, because it's not why they wanted to do it. The Saudi and LIV exist so that the Saudis can have a place on American soil to broker deals with Americans and do it on, so it feels like it's on the up and up, essentially. Like,
they're going to have money in the PGA Tour,
they're getting theirs based off of that. Now, I do think better players will start to exit, and I think they'll start to go back to the PGA Tour. Like, Bryson's contract is up at the end of this year. I could totally see him just being like, I got my paycheck, I'm done, I'm back to the PGA Tour. I could see that. And you could have, like, a mass exodus of guys like Jon Rahm and some of these other players just saying, all right,
Brooks.
Yeah, the tour is where I need to be. It's where I'm relevant. It's where I matter the most. But the LIV portion of it will still probably exist. 216-474-0092. Matt in his car. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good, good. So, I don't know. This might be like, so, disclaimer, I'm a golfer, and, you know, I'm decent at driving. Everything else I feel like is, you know, chuck it up for luck. But I think my biggest issue with the current state of golf right now, as far as the pros, is I feel like everyone is just this carbon copy of, they can drive at 350 yards, and there's like, you know, I know, like, you know, Scottie Scheffler and some of these guys are kind of like the, you know, I guess rougher kind of around the edges kind of guys, but I mean, in a weird way to put it, but I just feel like there's no, like, big personalities right now. And what helped with the Tiger era was these courses actually felt like they were challenging too. Like now it just seems like half these, like, classic courses, everyone can just outdrive all the, like, you know, big hazards from these, like, 200, 300-year-old courses. And the U.S. Open used to be, like, the last kind of bastion of this where, you know, like, it was always about protect par, or you'd even have scores, like, every few years, like, Wingfoot or even Oakmont, where they're going to be this weekend, where, you know, it's +5, +6. You have the, you know, all the players complaining, and I feel like the USGA has just caved all these players now because, like, this used to be, like, the one weekend where I feel like all the fans that watch golf be like,
Now they feel like it was weird. Yeah, and Matt, you make some good points, and I appreciate you, man, as always. It was weird. It's been a weird relationship with the U.S. Open in general. Remember a couple years ago when, like, Joe Buck was on the call and Fox had
the rights?
Yeah, and it was like they tried to gas it up, and they tried to make it a different version of what it is, and sometimes you just got to You just got to let golf be golf. But I like when they make it more challenging, and I like when they make it harder. I mean, and that's what we'll see this weekend.
They do make it more challenging. They do make it difficult. I think this is going to be a tournament where you're not going to score well. And truthfully, this is the second best tournament in golf, and it shouldn't need to be propped up because it is something that people should and want to watch, and I think we'll watch no matter what is around it.
I just wish more people were hyped for the idea that Scottie's really doing things that we haven't seen since prime Tiger, and his run is an insane level of winning, and it just people just do not care. It's incredible to me. All right, in case we missed it, next right here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.